imagine many of you were around New York, whether Bronx or Queens or Manhattan, last Thursday night at around 9:15, 9:30, and this absolutely amazing blue light, which was just an electrical mishap of sorts, spread throughout that area in a way that was incredibly unusual and incredibly eerie. And even for the most rational people, there was either a feeling of or a first response of something otherworldly that was taking place. And it made me think that occurrence. I was actually at Marina Del Rey when it happened, so I was sort of like right beneath this this Misa. It made me think that how, on the one hand, many rational people would either feel uncomfortable, feel hesitant, feel skeptical, cynical about the idea of life outside of this planet. Although there's an excellent article written by Dr. Lamb on this topic and others as well. But the reality is that even the most rational of people have to acknowledge that so much of what we do and who we are, what our values are, what we believe in, is based on the unseen. What William James called the reality of the unseen. The soul, even God's existence, the world to come, Tchias Amesim, all of these, everything we do is based around a reality beyond what is visible. I'm sure many of you here have learned, probably many times, Reb Chaim Volozhin's landmark sefer, Nefesh HaChayim, which is actually published after his death. And the whole sefer is based around multiple worlds that are affected by our actions and the impact that we have on an entire spiritual universe that is unseen. And the reality is also that the most meaningful mitzvos, especially if you have a certain inclination and a certain personality and a certain nature, is when we are able to almost expand our soul, expand our imagination, expand just sort of our lives, and to experience something beyond just the here and now. Whether that's having a certain historical perspective, whether that's having a certain metaphysical perspective. It's probably because of that, at least for me personally, the mitzvah of Kiddush Levana and everything that is part and parcel of mitzvah of Kiddush Levana is something that has always held a certain fascination, because it really forces a person to expand beyond perhaps a one-dimensional Maisa Mitzvah, and again, expand in regards to nature, expand in regards to God's rule in the universe, expand in regards to things beyond this world. And I want to spend a few minutes, based on that, speaking about the mitzvah Kiddush Levana, which of course has its roots in this week's parasha, Parashas Bo, by Kiddush HaChodesh. So even though Kiddush HaChodesh and Kiddush Levana are not the same mitzvahs, they're not even super related, obviously there's some connection between them, and there's some basis of Kiddush Levana on Kiddush HaChodesh. So I want to spend a few minutes speaking about this most difficult mitzvah. What does it mean to be Mekadesh to Levana? What does it mean to have a bracha on Levana? What exactly is sort of happening in that bracha? So I just want to go through some of the sources together, raise some questions, and perhaps leave you with a thought on the topic. So the Gemara says, a famous Gemara in Sanhedrin, and there's also a parallel Gemara in the end of the fourth parak in Brachos. So you have Rabbi Acha bar Chanina, Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan, at kama mevarchin el chodesh. So until when can we say the birchas halavana? When can we do kiddush havana? Until the pigam, I guess is best defined as pigam's not a great word to define, but how do you define pigam? What's that? The defect in the moon has been fulfilled. V'kama amar v'yachav bar idi amar v'yehuda sa ad shiva sa nehadai amri ad shisha. Okay, and these are different opinions found in the poskim, in the mechaber, in the ramah. When we say, by the way, ad shisha sar, we're not speaking until the end of the 16th, but it's up until, it's ad v'lo ad b'chlal. And it's obviously an extensive discussion in the poskim, in some tav chafav, as to until when can until when can Kiddush Levana be said? So Vitravayhu, Krabbi Yochanan Svir Lahu, both the opinion that says up until 7 and the opinion that says up until the 16th, both go like Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says the purpose or the Kiddush Levana is said until the moon's pigam has been filled. So both of these opinions go according to that shita. The other question is, what does it mean that the defect of the moon has been filled? So Gemara says, "Hal mahaviki yisra, hal mahaviki nafya." Right, different visions of the defect of the moon being filled. Either like a yisra, what's a yisra? It's like the bow of a bow and arrow. It's like the circular part of that where it's been filled slightly, but not completely. And a nafya is like a sieve, like a half sieve, which is like a half circle. So both of these opinions are what does it mean that the defect has been removed? But again, both going with the neshita of Rabbi Yochanan that the Kiddush Levana can be said until the defect has been removed. So I'm really Rav Acha Medivti L'Ravina. Again, for those of you who've seen this Gemara before, you're familiar with it. If you're not, it's a fascinating question. V'livra chatova metiv. When we see that the moon is becoming filled once again and the defect has been removed, so instead of saying Kiddush Levana, or maybe on top of Kiddush Levana, let's say the bracha hatova hametiv. So Amar Lei, also a very, very interesting question. Atu ki choser mi mevarchinan dayon ha'ames. If, let's say, when the moon becomes diminished, do we say Baruch Dayan HaEmes? I don't think we would say this Bracha B'Shem HaMalchus, but Dayan HaEmes, namely, something is going missing from the world, something is being diminished. So, deliver Hatova Metiv. I mean, it only makes sense to say the Bracha Hatova Metiv if, on the flip side, we're also saying the Bracha Dayan HaEmes. I think Mara said, V'Livrachinu L'Tshavayu. You know what? So, let's say both. It's an amazing concept. It makes you realize just how tantalizing this idea and our relation with the moon is. That we would think about saying the bracha dayan ha-mes when the moon in our vision becomes diminished, and then atov meitiv when it becomes replenished. So keva dahainu orche lumu v'rchinan. You know what? Maybe we would say both of these brachas, baruch dayan ha-mes and baruch atov meitiv. But those brachas are only said, or at least the bracha dayan ha-mes is only said when the loss is unnatural. So as for instance, by death. Death we assume is an unnatural state, and that's why we have so many of the customs that we do by the kvura. So because death is unnatural, mach Hashem is dimma, means there'll be time where there's no death in the future, so therefore we say the bracha of dayan ha-mes. In this case, ki orche, because it's natural, therefore dayan ha-mes is not appropriate, but again, how tantalizing it makes this mitzvah to sort of think that this is even a question, that when the moon in our vision becomes diminished, we say dayan ha-mes, and when it becomes replenished, we would say hatov meitiv. So the Gemara continues. So Rav Acha Bar Chanina, Rav Yasim, Rav Yochanan. Again, a piece of the Gemara that I'm sure that most people are familiar with. So Kol Mavarech Al Ha Chodesh Bismano Kiel Mekabel Pnei Shechina. Anybody who says the Birchos Levana, anybody who does Kiddush Levana, it's Kielu Mekabel Pnei Shechina. How do we see that? What's the source? Ksiv hacha achadesh hazeh, achodesh hazeh, uksiv hasam bezeke livan vehu. Okay, so again, this idea of glorifying the moon. So Tanav Rabbi Shmuel, ilmalei lo zachu Yisrael, ele lahakpil pnei avin shishmayim kol chodesh v'chodesh. If the only almost mitzvah that we would do, if the only act of Kabbalah Pnei Shechina we would do every month is just being Mekabel Pnei, just doing Birchos Levana, just doing Kiddush Levana, so Dayam, that would be enough. If we don't do any other Maisa, so to speak, of Kabbalah Pnei Shechina, but all we do is Kiddush Levana, we stand out and we take the mitzvah seriously, Dayam, that would be enough in regards to being Mekayim, some concept of Kabbalah Pnei Shechina. So Amar Baye Hilchach Nimrinu Mu'umad. And because of that, because there's some elements, says Rashi, on this Gemara of Kabbalah Pnei Shechina, therefore we do so standing up. I can't help but smile. You know, this Gemara describes Kiddush Levana in the most elegaic, and the most beautiful, the most elegant of ways, of of the capacity of the sort of the spiritual dimension of this mitzvah, you know, it's also the mitzvah that probably me personally I miss the most often, at least in its tzibur. You know, people go running out of shul, I'm the rabbi of the shul, so there's always some, I don't want to say nudnik, but sometimes it's a nudnik who wants to stay behind to ask you something. By the time you get out, the kiddush levana has taken all of about 90 seconds outside. In our shul, if you try to start dancing, you know, you get put into like a quasi-cherem of sorts. So, you know, if people would sort of almost stop and think about the elegance and the beauty of sort of mitzvahs that we've done, you know, a thousand different times and do sort of pro forma, it would have like a different feel. I couldn't help but feel this is neither here nor there. But anybody here are fans of Rabbi Yaakov Kuznetsov's Sefer Emes LeYaakov? It's an amazing Sefer. I mean, the Sefer is a reflection of the man himself. You know, Rabbi Yaakov was just this, you know, for me to call Rabbi Yaakov Kuznetsov an incredible human being, I feel almost awkward doing so. But besides his midos and his insight and his demeanor and his warmth, and he was a very broad individual in a lot of ways. He had a great grasp on diktuk, and he was like fascinated by the world. You know, one of those sort of old school Rosh Yeshiva, which I don't want to speak badly about the world today. I'm not sure if you have the same types of people, inhabiting the planet, so to speak. So in Parshas Bereishis, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, he spoke about the fact, about one of the great stories about Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, I'm sure you've heard before, when he was giving a shiur, when he was in Torah Vadas, he once quoted Anna Karenina, which probably has not happened in Torah Vadas, probably since his time, probably won't happen again. What's that? Yeah, well, they know. But anyway, so then when he saw that the Tamidim there had never read Anna Karenina, or probably most of Tolstoy, he was like in a state of shock. He said, go through your life and not read Anna Karenina. So I always think about that comment when I see this comment in Parshas Bereishis, where he was discussing that he was sitting in his somewhere watching Neil Armstrong land on the moon, and how mispal he was by that vision of man walking on the moon. And then, sort of typical of a person who's an Adam Gadol, he started thinking about the Shittas HaRambam in Sodei HaTorah that describes, perhaps, it's not clear what the Rambam means exactly, but the planets of not and the moon not being a real body, but being sort of these like intellectual objects. And then, how could he ever believe in the Rambam again? Because he can so clearly see that the moon is a real object, not just sort of these intellectual bodies, etc. But so I always think, whenever I think about the Levana, I have this beautiful image of Yaakov sitting there, you know, in tears, watching Neil Armstrong walk on the moon. Okay, when a person learns this Gemara, and they think about the mitzvah of Kiddush Levana, there's probably a few different questions that pop into a person's mind. I tell you the words Kiddush Levana, there's a bracha we say on the Levana, and we learn this Gemara together. What question, maybe even fundamental or more practical, technical, would come up in regards to this mitzvah of Kiddush Levana?
In terms of Neil Armstrong?
Neil Armstrong, there's plenty of... You know, okay.
No, it's just like, we can't touch the moon,
right.
Enemies shouldn't be able to touch us.
Right.
Like that.
Right.
After the moon landing, that becomes problematic.
Yeah, could be. Could be.
We have to see the moon.
Right. Okay. So hold that for 1 second. That's only great. That's definitely part of one of the questions that a person would pose. So I want to just think about three different pratim, one of which you just mentioned. You know, one of which is, what does it mean when we say a bracha, we do Kiddush Levana, that we're being mekabel pnei Hashchina? Right. This is obviously something which is discussed by the Rishonim, and we'll see those opinions. You know, what does it mean? We go out and we acknowledge the presence of the moon, and that is. Embracing, so to speak, it's welcoming, it's bringing the presence of the Shekhinah. What exactly does that line mean, which obviously is at the root of the concept of Kiddush Levana? That's number one. Number two is, it would seem that the language of Kiddush Levana is an inappropriate comment, right? If I tell you the words Kiddush Levana, what does that mean? It means that we're sanctifying the moon. Now, how are we sanctifying the moon by saying the bracha of Mechadesh Chadashim? And by the way, maybe it's worthwhile. I do this in my shul sometimes in Muncie, about once a year, we just sort of read through a tefillah together and speak about that tefillah with the assumption that most people don't always know what they're saying. You know, even people that are exceptionally well-educated and shul-goers. So let's just very quickly read the bracha. Baruch Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Asher b'mamaro b'rash hachakim, with his words, with his utterance, he created the heavens, Ruach Piv Kol Tzvakam, and with his with the breath of his mouth, he created all of... what's that? The host, exactly. Chokuzman nasan lahem shol yishanu es tafkidam. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a chokuzman, he created a setness, almost a rigidity, that they always fulfill their tasks. And one of the most inspiring aspects of creation for me is the fact that the chodesh, so the newness of the moon, always takes place every 29 days, 12 hours, 44 minutes, and a third of a second, unchanged. That the creation has a chok uzman shol yishanu es tafkidam. Sasim usmechim lasos ritzon konam. The moon and the stars, the constellations, rejoice in the ability to do their tafkid. Po emesh apulaso emes. The lavana amar shetischadesh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells the moon to become new. Ateres tiferes lamusei vaten. It's a beautiful language. That the moon becomes an ateres tiferes, becomes like a crowning glory, lamusei vaten, to Klal Yisrael, to the nation that God has weaned, the nation that God has created, the nation that God has almost given birth to. Shem asidim l'hischadesh kemosa, that this nation in the future themselves will have a hischachus. Ulafa'er liyotzram, and the nation will glorify its creator. Al shem kvod malchuso, baruch ata Hashem mechadesh chadshim. Blessed are you, God, who is mechadesh chodesh. What a incredibly beautiful bracha, right? And then there's so much in this bracha. There's like so many different pieces of philosophy and machshava and metaphysics in this bracha. If we would almost like stop and think about the words that we say typically on a monthly basis. The question is why the language. The question number one again is what does it mean to be mekabel pnei Hashchina? And number two would be, is the words kiddush levana, is that appropriate? Are we sanctifying the new moon, or are we acknowledging the new moon? Should it be called maybe, chiddush hachodesh? You know, the newness of the moon. And in fact, there's the great Acharon, the Maharshag, has a tshuva that says that he thinks that Kiddush Levana is wrong, the words Kiddush Levana. It should be Chiddush HaLevana. But he said that I see in the Beis Yosef and the Bach and other people that they have the language of Kiddush Levana, so there must be some type of history for that, there must be some basis for that. But he said, but it was up to me, I would call it Chiddush HaLevana. And in fact, just to sort of add to almost the complexity of, is this us sanctifying? Is it just our acknowledging the newness of the moon? If you look, which I can read inside, if you look in the Medrash, in source number 3, there's a machlokes, is the language, should it be kiddush or chiddush? Let's take a look, for instance, in the first line. HaKhodesh HaZeh Lachem, HaRoos HaLevana, HeYach Tzarech LeVarech, Bizman Shehayu Yisrael Mekachin Es HaKhodesh. How should we say the bracha? Yesh Min Rabbanan Amrin Baruch Mechadesh Chadashim, as we have it, and that's the language of the Baal Bin Yushami. V'yesh mehem omrim baruch mekadesh chadashim. Blessed is the sanctifier of the moon. So is what we're doing acknowledging a newness? Is there some form of sanctification that's going on? And both as far as what we call the mitzvah, what the bracha should be, is a question as far as, is this really a maisa kedusha, or is it just acknowledging a Kadosh Baruch Hu's being mechadesh chadash? Okay, and by the way, this, if you look in the Masechta Sofrim, Perek Chaf, Halacha Aleph, when they made up the sources, they must have been using a different something different than I have, but so it's the wrong halacha over here. But if you look, I think if you have Safari or other places, you look in Perikov Halacha Aleph, it's the same question as far as maybe the Nusach HaBracha should be Mekadesh Chadashim, because there's some element of Kiddush HaChodesh that's taking place, but of course we have the Girsa of Mechadesh Chadashim. Okay, so those are two questions, and then the third question is the following. If I ask you to classify, what is the nature of this bracha? Normally we have three models of brachos. We have Birchas HaMitzvah, which is usually pretty clear what that means. There's a mitzvah in front of us. We say the bracha beforehand. There's a whole discussion in the Rishonim. I point you to the Ritva and Pesachim and other people as well. What is the purpose of a bracha before we do a mitzvah? Is it to elevate the action? Is it to get us in the right mindset? And then, of course, the question would be, let's say it's over Las Yasa and we forget the bracha, should we do it afterwards or not? And that is obviously dependent on why we say the bracha in the first place. But Birchas HaMitzvah, we understand pretty well what that is and the parameters of a Birchas HaMitzvah. And again, the major sugya for this is Psachim Dav Zayin. And then we have a Birchas Hanenin, which means that before we get Hanah from the world, so we say a bracha, as the Gemara says, that if we don't say a bracha before we get Hanah from the world, so what's the language, I remember? What's that? Akilu Ma'al. It's like we're stealing from Hegdish, right? And that, again, we understand the parameters of that also, before we eat, before we get enjoyment. And then we have Bircha Shevach. Bircha Shevach is usually a bracha that we say after an act, where we're praising God for what we experience. Sometimes it's we see a certain stimuli out in the world, so we praise the God for that world. There's usually the Birchas Haroeh, where we see the great sea, or we see a great mountain, or we see a rainbow. That's like a Birchas Haroeh, Birchas Shevach. We're praising God for the creation of what He has in this world. So this bracha of Kiddush Levana, what exactly is it? Is it a Birchas HaMitzvah? Is it a Birchas Hanenin on Hana on the moon? Is it Birchas Shevach, that we're praising God for the creation of the moon? What type of bracha? Normally we think that brachos fit in those three categories. So I just mentioned just a few Mar Mekomos just to tell you even the confusion, the confoundment that the Acharonim had in regards to this issue. So for instance, the Margolius Hayam. Everyone knows the Margolius Hayam. Margolius Hayam is just, if you learn Maseches Sanhedrin, I would say you have to learn Margolius Hayam, but it's hard to find a more enjoyable sefer on Shas than Margolius Hayam. It's not hard to have a sefer that Daniel Ginsberg is here, so if his Rebbe Rav Schechter write a sefer, or he's written many svarim, but it's sort of the most unique. The Margolius Hayam was a librarian, so he's one of these people that had access to all svarim, and he just brings in the most fascinating ha'aros on Maseches Sanhedrin, which in and of itself is a fascinating Masechta. So he says from the very fact that we have to say the bracha mu'umad, we have to do it standing up, is a reflection on the fact it's a Birchas HaMitzvah. Because Birchas HaNenin, Birchas Shevach, we can do sitting down. It's usually a Birchas HaMitzvah that we're supposed to do standing up. Okay, and therefore, when we say you have to do it standing up, it's because the Gemara is telling us that there's a Birchas HaMitzvah. There's a mitzvah of Kiddush Levana. So it's not clear what the Birchas HaMitzvah would be. It's not clear what the mitzvah is that we're doing, but that it's under the signon, it's under the category of a Birchas HaMitzvah. Okay, if you look in the Rambam, just very quickly, in source number 5, so Haroa Keshas Ba'anan, person sees a rainbow. What's Ba'anan, literally? In the clouds, right? It's not the rainbow in the sky, it's the rainbow in the clouds, which is the Lashon of the Gemara, I believe in the Yerushalmi, not the Bavli. So Mivarech, not sure what the mem is doing there, so we'll just ignore it. Baruch Hashem Malkei Mechalam, Zochei Abris, etc., etc. Okay, the next line, Haroa Levana Bechidusha, Mivarech Baruch Hashem Malkei Mechalam, Asher B'Maro Baruch Shechakim, etc., etc. Okay, so the Rambam is quoting the Yerushalmi. Clearly, he's throwing the Birchas Levana into the category of Birchas Haroa, Birchas Shevach. You see a rainbow. So you say this. You're praising God for the creation of the world. You see in Adam Gadol, you say this. You say this, you say that. It's in the category of Birchas Shevach. We're praising God for the creation of the world. And the Rambam would seem to sort of fall into line with that as well. It's a bracha of praise as opposed to a Birchas HaMitzvah. Now, if you look in the poskim, though, one gets the idea, perhaps, that it's a Birchas Hanenin, that we're saying a bracha because we're getting pleasure of sorts from the moon. And that's why the Mishnah Brura says, what you pointed out, you have to be able to see it clearly, you have to be able to enjoy it. You can't start saying it when it's visible and then it becomes invisible, because there has to be, the language of the poskim over and over and over again, is there has to be hana'ah from the moon, and as a result, maybe it's a Birchas Nenin. Before we get hana'ah from the moon, we have to acknowledge that with a bracha. Now, what would be the problem with saying that in some way the Birchas Levana is a Birchas Nenin? What would be maybe...
You'd have to do it every single day,
right? In other words, there would be no shear for it almost. You know, you would treat it like every other Birchas Nenin. You know, if it's every hefsik, or every hour, every this, or every that, you know, you'd have to do it constantly, as opposed to something that obviously is instituted one time a month. And Shasso is pointing out, and there's a tshuva by Rav Moshe about this, and many others as well, that many people disagree, that even if you don't really see the moon, but you know that it's there, even if it's just foggy, you don't really get pleasure from it. And it's not a bracha that is dependent on Nenin. But again, all three of these positions are reflected. Birchas Nenin, you have to get Hana, Birchas Shevach, that it's like a Birchas Aroeh, and Birchas Mitzvah, which to me seems like the least likely. Because a Birchas a Mitzvah is, the Mitzvah's X, and I'm saying a bracha on that mitzvah. What would be the mitzvah, the chetza mitzvah, upon which you're saying the Kiddush Levana? Okay, let's just stop for a second. There are a few people with hands up, and then we'll continue from there. Please, sir.
The mitzvah, because the moon is the whole basis of the calendar. So it's the not itself, to the machadish, the chodesh is a mitzvah. We don't do it anymore the way that they used to, obviously.
Right.
We base it on the calendar. But maybe it's sort of some memory of
right.
that mitzvah.
Right.
It would have been a mitzvah to go to Sanhedrin to say, "Hey, I've seen the new moon."
Right.
So maybe it's some kind
so
of.
So it's almost like
that.
like a zecher l'migdash, that our bracha is a bracha on Kiddush HaKodesh, what existed.
And
could be.
Is the basis of
right.
the mitzvah of the calendar.
Right. It could be. Listen, it's definitely more almost of like a stretch. You have to say something like you're saying, that it's related to Mitzvah Kiddush HaKodesh, so even though we don't do Kiddush HaKodesh, it's a bracha on the Zecher for that, almost like Sfiras HaOmer B'zman HaZeh. Possibly. Did you, sir, you had your...
Really, a new moon. It's the same moon. It's
right.
The question of how much of it is shaded, how much of it is not.
Right.
And that significance, whether or not there, that's why you wouldn't necessarily call it a new moon.
Right.
It's the same moon. It's just a question of how much of it is being exposed.
Right. 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 Which makes it sort of like the new moon, sort of very. Man-centric, you know, because you know the moon doesn't change. It's our perception of it, which I guess is the entire world of mitzvahs in the first place. It's all about, you know, sort of our relationship to something. But even in the Gemara, it's called, you know, Chadash, is like when you begin to see the sliver of the new moon, meaning the Chazal themselves relate to this as like a new entity, even though it's not a new entity. But yeah.
No, maybe it's Birchas and Mitzvah, just like you're being Kabbal Pnei Ashrina. So we do, apparently,
uh-huh,
whatever
uh-huh,
reason,
right.
whether it's analogous to
right,
bias for
right.
waxing and waning.
Right, that's
whatever,
beautiful. Yeah.
Whatever the reason,
right.
and the idea of being a Birchas Hanenin, and I'm not sure you could say you'd have to do it every day. No. You might have thought that, but Chazal said, you know what?
Right.
Do it once. That just like we make Birchas HaTorah once a day, we make Birchas,
right.
you know...
Yeah. But but both those ideas are very, very nice. But the very fact that you might say that the mitzvah, the chetzah mitzvah is Kabbalah Pnei Shechina, you know, that the mitzvah is almost like the Vegas Pashem. It's a mitzvah that we say, you know, on that to some degree. That's a very, very nice idea. Place in the, yeah.
If it's a Birchas Hanenin, why would the moon be treated differently than the sun?
Well, that's a good question. Listen, obviously that's going to get into what we're going to speak about now as far as what is the significance of the moon. In other words, why then, maybe if it's just Nenin from something, if you forget all sort of like the hashkafa behind it, so then in theory that should be the case by the sun also, you know. But and then we would institute, perhaps as this gentleman said, like once a month, a bracha we would say, which instead of having every, you know, 20 plus years, you know. Yeah, please.
Well, first of all, the Rambam himself seems to backtrack from saying Birchas HaRoeh, because he says at the end, you stand up because it's Kabbalah's Pnei
Shechina. Right, right.
So he seems to backtrack from. It's more that the when you then do this when you see it. But
yeah.
It's not that it's a birchas haroeh.
Yeah.
It's that telling you when to do it.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, so even though it's in the same sort of category, the same language, same this, it really is something which is very different. Listen, obviously everyone has to say that it's more than just a birchas and mitzvah. It's more than just a birchas and ed, and it's more than just, a birchas shevach. The question is, like, where would he sort of almost try to place it? You know, what would be the basic category? There's one more, and then we'll continue, please. Right.
In fact, it's more applicable when you see it for
right.
You're standing there looking.
Right, right.
Where is it? It's
yeah.
Somewhere there. Oh, there it is.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Reminded by a comment of Rav Tzadok, who I'm sure like many of you, a tremendous fan of, and he's saying that the most beautiful light, that's why when you do Bedikas Chametz, so you only use like Or Haner, right? Because the most beautiful reflective light is the minuscule light that's refracted through darkness, and that's the light that's the light of Gula. I mean, the light doesn't always have to be something glorious. It's often something which is very small, but it's meaningful. That's probably true by the sun. It's true by light. It's true by the moon as well. Okay, so why don't we just take a few minutes to go through some of the sources that. somebody just referred to, I think you just mentioned, about what does it mean, Kabbalah's Pnei HaShechina? And there's clearly two different tracks in the Rishonim, and that's such a tantalizing comment. You know, it's Ki'ilu Mekabel Pnei HaShechina. Obviously, that's going to sort of get the gander, so to speak, to use an old expression I'm sure nobody uses anymore, of the Rishonim that are so fascinated by that language. So there seems to be two basic schools of thought. What does this mean, Kabbalah's Pnei HaShechina? And again, it was already referenced a second ago. So one of which... Sure enough, I'm Marmakomos. Ah, okay. So one of which, let's put in this school of thought of the Rashba, and not surprisingly, Rabbeinu Yonah. Now, the Rashba asks an absolutely amazing question. And it's not so much that he asked this question, but that perhaps this was a sheet of one of the other Rishonim, Rav Moshe Dekuzi. Who's Rav Moshe Dekuzi? What's he most known for?
Smug.
He's the Smug, right? Yeah. So Moshe Dekuzi, so if you look in the Shaila and the Shuvas HaRashba, okay. So Masha Masha Matsasa Larav Rabbi Moshe Dekuzi She'ein Mevarchin Birchas Halavana B'Leili Shabbos. We don't say Kiddush Levana on Friday night. Now, why? What's the reason that we don't usually say Kiddush Levana on Friday night? What's that? Well, any real Litvax here? Any Hasidim here? Anyway, it's because the issue as far as... well, it could be Amy Arvin Simcha. It's also maybe the issue of dancing, which was some posting point out also, which maybe we shouldn't do on Shabbos. Okay? The Shema Yesh Techumin Lamala Me'asara. You hear that, Shita? About which is not brought down in the Smag itself. Maybe there might Chumin. Namely, we do the myth of Kiddush Levana, which means that we are going off to embrace the Shechina or embrace the moon. And seeing that there might be an issue of tchumin, of us transporting ourselves beyond a certain space, therefore there might be an issue of tchumin, and therefore we would not do Kiddush Levana on Friday night. Can you imagine such a question? It's wild. It really is wild. It just tells you also, to some degree, sort of the idea of like, if this is a real shita, the idea of almost like a spiritual transport being a real thing, being brought to like another dimension, so to speak, and there's like a almost like a spiritual reality to that. Now, the Rashba was not sort of having this, but essentially, if you go through the Tshuva, you know, his vision of Kiddush Levana to some degree affirms, but maybe not in such a dramatic way, this question, in the sense that we are embracing the idea of the moon representing a Kaddish Baruch Hu, the moon representing God's Shechin in the world. We can't necessarily embrace a Kaddish Baruch Hu, but we can embrace the idea of the Levana. I mean, there's like a spiritual transport where a Kaddish Baruch Hu is almost untouchable, so to speak, but we can embrace and be mistabik to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's representations in this world, and the easiest representation in this world is the Levana, in fact. So again, the idea of Kiddush Levana is us embracing, connecting, being mistabik to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's representation in this world. Now, I forgot to tell Rabbi Winston, Rabbi Dov, to put Rabbeinu Yonah in the Ma'amar Komos. Let's read to you a few lines. Rabbeinu Yonah, this appears at the end of the fourth parak in Brachos. It's a beautiful Ma'amar Komos. So Rabbeinu Yonah, Kiel Mekabah Pnei Shechina, Bibnei Shekadosh Baruch Hu, Afo Pi She'eno Nireh La'ayin, God is not, of course, visible, Nirehu Al Yedei Gevurosav, V'niflosav. Kadosh Baruch Hu is visible through his creations, through the cosmos. Kinyan shenemar achein atah kel mistater elokei Yisrael Moshiach. Klomar avi shatam mistater, even though God you're hidden at who elokei Yisrael shasisa imahem kama niflaos, even though you're hidden we still acknowledge you as the elokei Yisrael because you have made these niflaos. V'yata Moshiach b'chol eitz b'chol sha'a v'al yidei teshuascha roim oscha b'nei adam v'yata mizgaleh lahem, you reveal yourself to them through your creations. I mean, this is us being able to literally be mekabel p'nei ashkina, that we are almost embracing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's representatives in this world. But anybody have like a thought of where else we see this concept? In a very, very different type of way, but I think what's probably meaningful as a Jew is the various ways in which we are mekayim the same concept or the same idea. And just as a hint, the most famous place is the Gemara in Shabbos and the Gemara in Sota. When the Gemara discusses the Veikas Bashem, so how can we be mistabik to Kadosh Baruch Hu? So we say we can't be mistabik to Kadosh Baruch Hu, but we can be mistabik to God's midos, right? The Kadosh Baruch Hu is a kel rachum, we can be a kel rachum. I mean, we find all these different ways, whether it's going to be through tefillah, through Kiddush Levana, through chesed, through midos, of clinging on to God's representative in this world. And this very much sort of speaks to this concept. The Rambam has the same idea by being dovek to Tamidei Chachamim, that we can't really sort of get to God himself, but there's representatives of God in this world. So this obviously has a lot of connection to that. So that's sort of one perspective in Kiddush Levana, our connection to God's representative in this world. Now the other perspective is best summed up by both the Maharsha and by a very, very beautiful Aruch HaShulchan. When you want to know, by the way, why people love the Aruch HaShulchan, not to the exclusion of Mishnah Berurah, but there's such different svarim, written sort of in the same tekufa, the same basic place in the world, but sort of the spirit of the svarim are very different, and that's obviously reflected by this Aruch HaShulchan and many others as well. Let's first do the Maharsha. So this is the Maharsha at the end of the fifth parak in Sanhedrin, on that same Gemara we mentioned, Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph. Etc. Okay, which is what we just quoted. So Lufisha Yisrael begalusan einan zochin liros pnei shechina. When we are in a state of exile, we cannot see the God's revelation or God's presence. V'ruchoka mikabalasa. And we have a hard time being mekabel God Shechina. Aval Chiddush HaLevana, who simin l'Yisrael, Shehem asidin lehischadesh kemosa. It's a sign of hope. It's a sign of confidence of our own hischachos in the future. Lefa'er liyotzram bekibul pnei Shechina. Kemosha yora alzeh nusach birchas HaLevana. Like what we just mentioned in the nusach, where we speak about just like the moon will replenish itself, so too we will be replenished as well. Ulozeki sha'anu mivarchin alachodesh bismano shehu simin sha'anu asidin lehischadesh kemosa v'harei anu ki'ilu mekabim p'nei ashchina. When we say the bracha, we know that we are going to become whole like the moon, and that is like us being mekabim p'nei ashchina. Now this is, I think, a beautiful Maharsha, something that you just alluded to before. Anybody have perhaps either a problem or something that's maybe complex about this Maharsha? I mean, I think the Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rashba alluded to, we understand exactly what the Kabbalah's Pnei Shechina is. This is God's representation in this world, which we are embracing, which we are acknowledging, which we are blessing, which we are... What exactly is the Kabbalah's Pnei Shechina according to the Maharsha? I mean, he says it. Everyone hear what I'm saying?
We believe that eventually we're going to be taken out of our lowly state.
And that's Kabbalah's Pnei Shechina.
Yeah.
That's
somehow.
Right. So that exactly, I mean, exactly what he says is what, and what you just said, but it's a different type of Kabbalah's Pnei Shechina. It's the Kabbalah's Pnei Shechina of us recognizing that perhaps God is still in the world, that we will become regenerated, there's hope for Klai Yisrael, God has not left the world. I mean, it's a maybe like a more nuanced and a more complex version of Kabbalah's Pnei Shechina. Everyone understand that? As opposed to something being direct, it's more historical, it's more, again, it's sort of like a more nuanced idea of Kabbalah's Pnei Shechina. And the Aruch HaShulchan goes through the same idea as well. Now, we're getting a little short on time, but this Aruch HaShulchan is so beautiful, so just why don't we read the whole thing together. This is Siman Tav Chaf Vav, and this is a combination of Sif Aleph and Sif Beis. Okay. So Garcina Bisan Hedrin Kol Mivarch Al Hachodesh or Hachodesh Bismano Kiil Makab Bnei Shechina Ksiv Hacha Hachodesh Hazeh Uksiv Hasam Zekeli Van Vehu, which by the way the Gemara got messed up, but the Aruch HaShulchan quotes it better. The from Hazeh Hazeh, okay? So the Tanvi Rabbi Shmoel Malalo Zach Bnei Yisrael El Hakil Pnei Avim Shvishmayim Pam Achatz Bchodesh Dayom. So Amar Abaye, Hilchach Nimrinu Me'umad. Okay? So this is all just basically a quotation from the Gemara. So Hari Mevuar, the Kiddush Halavana, who Inyan Gadol, Vnora, Kikabalas Pnei Hashchina. This is an amazing mitzvah. Ubevadai Yesh Bazeh, Sodos Gedolos Vnoraos. This goes on saying that this idea of Kiddush Halavana, there must be great Sodos. Now, when you see the word sod, what do you already, what is already sort of sure ring bells in our head of what he means?
Kabbalah.
Like when the Ramban says the same word. Kasher heirichu chachme hakabbalah. And by the way, for those of you, you know, who are educated, which is everyone here, you know, you recognize how much of Kabbalah is a part of halacha and how much, how often it's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch or other places as well. Meaning this is a, you know, it's a different universe, but it's a different universe that, and especially a mitzvah like this, becomes you know, fully integrated. She'inyan miut hayerach ve'inyan chet adam harishon nogim zelazet. There's some connection between the diminishment of the moon and chet adam harishon. Okay, and because of that, what's the halacha that is noveya from this? The women are not supposed to, according to the Shla and others, they're not supposed to say Kiddush Levana. Ula asid lavo kishe yutukan chet adam harishon az yutukan gam miot hayerech, that somehow the completion and the tikkun of the world will also complete the moon. The al oso ha'es nemar v'haya or ha'levana korachama. Okay, we're going to leave aside this sort of these Kabbalistic murmurings for a second. I will just mention this one thing to think about. This is a great question for rabbis to ask on a Friday night shul to think about. We say that women should not say Kiddush Levana because they were responsible for being Memayit HaLevana. Whatever exactly that means. They were responsible for diminishing or creating this pagam in the moon in the first place. Because of Chet Adam Rishon, convincing Adam. Okay? But there's another halacha. The halacha is that women specifically, even though everyone is chayiv to light Shabbos candles, women have taken upon themselves as a responsibility, and one reason given is because they diminished the light of the world, they diminished Adam HaRishon, they were responsible for the diminishment of the moon, and therefore they're now responsible for bringing light to the world in Shabbos candles. The same reason with two exactly opposite halachos. One case where women should not do Kiddush Levana, one reason is where women should specifically do the mitzvah of lighting candles. Okay, something to think about. Okay, halacha base. Ubepshuto hatam, mashim mevarchin al halavana yoser mi'al kol hakochavim. So I mentioned before the issue of saying a bracha on the sun. So why the moon more than the sun? V'hi katana kim'at mikol hakochavim. The moon is like the you know, the ugly stepbrother, or like the smaller stepbrother compared to the sun, which by the way is discussed in the Gemara in Chulin, okay? Zulas kochav, besides just normal stars. Bimneshi krova va'aretz yoser mikola kochavim. Because the moon is the closest to the earth. Everyone loves those pictures, you know, when there's like an eclipse, where it looks like the moon and the sun are like, you know, like 10 feet away from each other. Just, you know, the sort of the beautiful relationship between the moon and the sun. Okay, rak be'erech mem gimel elof pirisa, which sounds like a lot, but it's relatively close. Uba niris lanu b'chush gedulaso shal kodesh baruch hu. When you see the moon, we just have a sense of the greatness of God. B'chol laila v'laila mehilucha hamurgash ve'kifa sa'aretz. We see the idea of the moon revolving around the earth. B'chol chodesh. Ulchei nikras yerach. And that's why it's called Yerach in the first place. Kedichsiv asay Yerach lemoadim ibnei shema kefas haaretz b'chol Yerach yamim. It's called a moon because it revolves around the earth every month. Umurgash chisrona, we feel its diminishment. Umilua, and of course its completion. V'Yisrael hamonim lelavana nimshalu lelavana kishem shalavana ein laor meatzmusa. Just like the moon does not have any light in and of itself, raktair me'ur hashemesh, it only gets its illumination from the sun. Kmo kein Yisrael ein lahen shum or, we also don't have a natural light. Zulas or shokadosh baruch hu. Okay, so this is the reason that the moon more than the sun. The moon is just a reflection of the sun, and we're just a reflection of kadosh baruch hu. Hazorech lanu beemtzos haTorah, that illuminates onto us through the means of the Torah Kedosha, Kemoshin Emar, etc., etc. Okay, and then the last few words in the line, Ukeshem Shahalavana Techshach V'Tair, just like the moon visibly goes dark and then becomes regenerated, Kemokein Yisrael, Kemosha Anu Omrim Bibirchasa V'Lavana, Amar Shetischadesh Ateres Tiferes Lamuse Vaten, Shehem Asidim Lehischadesh Kemosa, we too will become illuminated and regenerated. Ukeshem shahalavana af bimei chisrona shel haaretz niras achoshech mikomakam ta'ir, just like the moon that appears to be dark but at the end becomes brilliantly light. Okay, so kamo kein Yisrael umikol elu hatamim kiblu Yisrael mitzvah zu b'simcha. What a beautiful Aruch HaShulchan. Again, the Aruch HaShulchan, this is almost like the Aruch HaShulchan in his glory, you know, sort of the philosophical background and the communal background to the mitzvahs. Now, we understand very well then, based on these four opinions, what does it mean Kabbalah Pnei Hashchina, where according again to the Rashban, according to Beinu Yonah, it's God's manifestation in the world. According to the Maharsha and according to this last one, the Aruch HaShulchan, it's a sign of Klal Yisrael. But I want to say perhaps that this gives us a little bit of a sense as to what it then means when we say Kiddush Levana. But we normally say the words to be Mekadesh. So we think of that as an act of sanctification, right? Whether it's Kiddush HaKodesh, the mitzvah of Kedushin, the mitzvah of anything where there's of Hegdish. It's us doing a physical act, sometimes a verbal act, of sanctifying, of separating. But the reality is that the idea of being Mekadesh and the idea of Kiddush is not always a specific Maisa itself. It's not always something that we're doing in the world of Maisa. Now, the best example of that is what? What's the best example of the word Kodesh or Hegdish or Kedushin not necessarily reflecting a Maisa per se, but it's reflecting something maybe deeply philosophical or deeply metaphysical? What would be the best example of that?
Marriage.
What's that?
Marriage.
Well, marriage is true, but marriage, there's a halachic act of changing almost the status of the woman. It's the language of Hegdish, it's the language of changing a status. I mean, there's something that you're doing with actuality by putting the ring on a woman's finger and saying that statement. There's a transformation of sorts. That's more a little bit like Hegdish in a way. You know, that's probably the best you know, paradigm for that. What else?
Kiddush
B'Shabbos. If I ask you, what exactly happens by Kiddush B'Shabbos, right, what's the Maisa that's happening? The answer is, of course, absolutely nothing, right? Because the Gemara tells us maybe you can say by Kiddush B'Yontiv it's a little bit different, because Kiddush B'Yontiv there's more of the active role of Klal Yisrael or Beis Din of being Mekadesh Yontiv based on Kiddush HaChodesh. But Shabbos, of course, we know is Kiddush V'Kayma. Shabbos is there already. It's there whether we like it or not. You know, it comes whether, you know, you hear the siren in Eretz Yisrael, you could be, you know, completely naked and not ready for shul, but it's there. You know, it's there whether you're ready or not. It's there, and us have absolutely, you know, no part whatsoever in the process of Kedusha Shabbos. So what does the word Kiddush then mean? So let's think for a second about a very famous discussion in the Rishonim and in the Acharonim that I'm sure you're familiar with, as how does a person be Mekayim the mitzvah of Kiddush? So we know the ideal way, the optimal way, is Kiddush B'Yayin, but we know that even without that, a person still yotzei the mitzvah of Kiddush. So for instance, there's a shita that says, the Magen Avraham, that person's yotzei the mitzvah of Kiddush by saying Vayichul, just by recognizing that God created the world, a person's yotzei the mitzvah of Kiddush, which then leads to the halakhic problem of how can you be motzei your wife when you come home if you've been mekayim the mitzvah Vayichul already. According to the very famous sheet of Rabbi Akiva Eiger, which hopefully they printed, okay, it's source number 11, even just wishing somebody a good Shabbos, a person is yotzei the mitzvah of Kiddush. That seems to be implicit in the sheet of the Rambam, that it's just a mention of mentioning Shabbos. So what does it mean then to be mekadesh Shabbos? Okay, if all we're doing is saying good Shabbos or saying Vayichulu. So it's very much probably in keeping with that Gemara in Shabbos, which I think you just mentioned, of that when a person says Vayichulu, even if they're doing so b'yichidus, so they're partnering with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. What does it mean to partner with the Kodesh Baruch Hu by saying Vayichulu? I mean, it's us acknowledging the world that God has created. It's us acknowledging God as the Borei Olam. It's us sort of bearing witness to the Maisa Bereishis. Imagine if there's absolute beauty and no one is there in a way to acknowledge it or to be mekabel it or to embrace it. You know, there's a nes nigla that takes place and no one, people are just out to lunch without sort of seeing the beauty of the world around them. You know, imagine if there's, you know, a poem or a sunset and there's no one there to have any cognition of the beauty of the world around them. Us saying Kiddush, us saying Vayichulu, us even saying Good Shabbos is a recognition of the beauty of Maisa Bereishis. And that also is called Kedusha. That also is a Maisa Kedusha. That's like a partnering. It's an acknowledging. And so too when it comes to Kiddush Levana as well, it's called Kiddush Levana not because there's a mistake and it should be called, you know, Kiddush Levana. It's by us recognizing the beauty of the world. It's us recognizing the history, the past, the present, and the future of Klal Yisrael. It's us recognizing the beauty of creation. That itself is a Maisa Kedusha. That's Kiddush Levana. If that's the case, then perhaps this is a unique bracha that can't fit into any category of Birchas HaMitzvah or Birchas Shevach or Birchas Hanenin. Just like Kiddush also probably is sui generis. It's something which is sort of beyond any specific bracha. It's like a different type of bracha, which Rav Moshe Feinstein in his own way actually mentions in the Tshuva. But it's not a typical bracha. It's a bracha almost of Kiddush, of us recognizing, you know, the Or Hashem, the creation of Kodesh Baruch Hu. I think it's fair to say that if all of us had some sensitivity towards nature and God's role in nature, by the way, for those of you who are, I often see Dr. Kirshner who's here, some of us, any other Yekis, he's not here today, but, what's that? Dr. Kirshner? Really? Baruch Hashem, what a fine person. I'm so sorry to hear it. But for others, I know he was always a fan of, he was always a fan of Rav Hirsch's writings. So people have a chance with Tu B'Shvat around the corner to read Rav Hirsch's writings about nature and the rebirth of the world, what Tu B'Shvat is. And if any of us had that sensitivity of what our relationship to the change of seasons would be and to mitzvah Kiddush Levana and a mitzvah Birchas Ilanos, etc., But that's not sort of a once a month, you know, two minutes, run outside, grab a sitter, you know, and run back in. It's an entire life of our role in this world, of partnering with the Kaddish Baruch Hu through just the simple recognition, the simple embrace of the beauty of the world. And by doing that, it's fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush Levana, of Kiddush B'Shabbos, but more so lives of Kedusha, lives of godliness, and Mirshim, all of us should join together in this most beautiful shituf, this most beautiful partnership with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for being here, and look forward to learning together in the future.
If you're interested, there is a sefer that came out, it was translated to English, which was called Be'er HaSar,
yeah,
and then it was translated to English by the Breuer Foundation.
Oh, really?
It's an index. It's based on an index.
Yeah.
By topic, writings of Rav Shimshon Feld Hirsch.
Yeah.
One of them writes about Teva, look there. One of them writes about nationalism,
Wow.
Look there. One of them writes about...
Someone's confused if I haven't looked at it yet.